Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:49 Central African time, at the time of the morning, where we join Councillor Ahmed Parak on the segment called Straight Talk, which also includes Kafan Dafan. Well, we have about 10 minutes before we go to the news, and then we dedicate that segment to Kafan Dafan. Ahmed Parak, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Councillor, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful Sunday, shining Sunday morning. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with another beautiful day, Shafar.
Well said, they're shining, it's beautiful, it's blue skies, and I don't know. You still chew bubble gum, Ahmed?
No, now and then, Shafat.
Hey, I remember when you were a referee. Hey, then you choo-choo and then you put your whistle then. Hey, offside. No, but ref, offside. And, you know, linesmen, those days, they used to have handkerchiefs. You remember? No lines. The poor guys couldn't even buy the flags. They used to use handkerchiefs. You remember, Ahmed?
Yes, Shafat. They used to use handkerchiefs, yeah.
Ahmed is laughing because you tell the people, you know, we were disempowered people. You're talking about apartheid and all that. Our poor referees ask Ahmed Parak. They have to use their own petrol money. They have to do, you know, they organize a lot of things. And they brought in professionals too now and then under the radar. Now, Ahmed, talking about Kafan Dafan, what's the latest?
The latest is Shafat. We have got one brother from Durban. He is in Bangkok at the moment. He is in Bangkok. He fell off from a 37-story building. And we are busy trying to get his paperwork sorted out from the embassy and to bring him down to South Africa. The family insists that he needs to come down. The family is really, really devastated. What happened there, they still cannot figure out what is the issue. But inshallah, we are working with the embassy of Bangkok, Thailand, to make sure that the body gets here sometime tomorrow or Tuesday morning, inshallah. That is an issue that we picked up on late Thursday afternoon. The family asked me to give them assistance, which I'm busy sorting it out. And alhamdulillah, things are in motion that they will be able to get that from tomorrow or Tuesday morning. The body will here by Emirates to South Africa. It will be here. That's one. The second one, yesterday we had a very nice launch of Rescue 786, which is that we will be having a fully fledged Islamic ambulance service, Rescue 786 KZN. We'll be able to assist all our community in Durban and surrounding that who needs assistance. You know, they have got cancer, they go for chemotherapy, and they need assistance to go from one hospital, from home to hospital. We'll be able to assist them with that day. And the people who can afford, they will pay. Who cannot afford, it's a free service to the community, where we will be able to assist the community. And we have already put that in motion, inshallah, between the 1st and the 15th of November, we'll have our first ambulance. And inshallah, in the early part of next year, we should have had one. One will be sorted out now. And by next year, we should have another two or three ambulance giving service to the community. One big advantage we will have, then we want to make an application to the Department of Health, and where we got a NVA road accident, that instead of waiting for hours for a morgue van to come, we are going to try and see if we can arrange with them so that they will be able to pick up the body and take it to the mortuary and do the paperwork for them quick as possible so that we'll be able to get our postmortem done. Because at the moment, the Department of Health, the forensic side of it, they do not have vehicles. And that is an issue that we might be able to help them to alleviate this issue and get our bodies quick as possible, Shafat.
You know, Ahmed, really full marks for you. You have a vision, and mostly, alhamdulillah, in your lifetime, you've seen your visions being fulfilled, and Allah has been good to you. You're talking about the ambulance service, and, you know, you talk about perhaps very shortly you will have this morgue service or the van picking people up. Who funds this, Adam? How will it be? I mean, Ahmed, how will this be funded?
Shafat, we're fortunate when it comes to our madrasas, masjid, when it comes to all our religious institutions, the community of Durban and surrounding, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us. People that have got hearts and they know who is doing what, they are always assisting. Like, take Tongat, at the moment I'm busy putting a truck, a 10-ton truck, two by 5,000 liters of dojo tank in it to give it to Buffaldale Masjid there. So they will have this truck with the dojos where they will be able to fill the water from the municipality and assist them in the greater part of Tongat. You got like plus minus 15,000 people, almost 3,000 householders, and they only got tankers. How do you service all those people? So therefore, we have decided the only way to alleviate this issue is to assist them via a trust. And alhamdulillah, people have been donating to the Masjid Trust into that account, and hoping it's coming week, the truck will be on the road and we'll be able to give them water and assist the community of Tonga. So therefore, I'm saying is, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed our community, our business people. When it comes to projects like this, ambulance, burial site, dafan kafan work, ghusl khana, masjid, madrasa, they don't feel shy. They come out, they open their hearts, and they give to the community and to the institution, and they know which institution and what they are doing. And alhamdulillah, I've got a track record. I did many years of the Bini work, and they know who they're dealing with, and they're assisting in that form to give out money and to give the community and the institution that they will be able to service the community, Shabbat.
Looking at the message on the screen, Ashgar says, Assalamu alaikum, Blue Chef. I know this Ahmad Parak, he's a topo. He did help a lot of people and a few of my relatives too. I want to know from Ahmad Parak, has the plot for graves gone up? The last we paid was many years ago, $5,000 the plot. What is the latest price? Ahmad, how do you answer Ashgar?
Ashgar, the price of burial at the moment, you know, they know actual price for a plot or anything like that, unless the person owns that his own grave or anything like that, and you still have to pay when you're opening the grave. But the price has, you know, unless you go you want to be buried at Brook Street, it's 4,500. You go to Hilal, it is about the same price as well. Only in Flower Road, you got like, when you go to Flower Road, they charge you 7,000 rand because that's how they work there. So, and people do not have money, we give them lilla burials. And if you want, even in Brook Street, if you got somebody and you insist that, you know, he wants to be there near Bashapir, you want to be there in Brook Street, we give him, if he cannot afford it, we'll open a grave there in Brook Street. There's a lot of graves there. We'll be able to do a lilla grave and we will bury the person there. So there's no such thing that, you know, although it might be, you know, one of the better in what you can call cemetery, and he feels that, you know, he won't be able to go there because, you know, he doesn't have the funding or anything like that. There's no such thing. If he wants to be there, and if he made wasiyat, and family says, you know what, I want to be buried in Brooks, I want to be buried in Hilal, I want to be buried in Flower Road or Dial Road, whichever our cemetery, Mobeni Heights, wherever, he will be buried there. There's no shortage of graves or anything for the next 15 years, Shabbat.
You know, I've been thinking, Adam, I mean, Ahmad, when you look at the graveyard there at Dayal Road, you know, we know that the Jusuf family have been very instrumental in you know, securing those plots and all. You know, is it a family trust? Even looking at Flower Road, is that also, you know, is it run by the Habibullah Khan family? Is it a family trust or is it an open, like an NGO?
Shabbat, the Flower Road Masjid and the cemetery trust that is run by the Falcon Khan family or the Habibullah family. And it is in place there. The one in Dayal Road is a trust, but it is open for everyone there. So you know, they've got trustees from very, you know, the late Ibrahim was running it. Allah give him Jannah. He did a splendid job. His father did a splendid job. And the upkeeping and everything, alhamdulillah, you know. So we have got people that are there to look after this type of work and all that for us. So as far as that is concerned, we don't have a problem in terms of shortage of graves or anything like that.
Yeah, you're hearing the sound, tung, 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 tung in the background, Ahmed. That is Mr. Computer. He's dictating to us. He's saying, Yazaya, you do this, you do that. And it's amazing all these things are working. But Central African time. Yes, Ahmed, what I picked up from the news is a lot of our people going to Turkey. And yeah, accidents there too, Ahmed.
You go wherever you go to anywhere in the world, you have accidents, you have things all over. Whatever happened will happen with the Allah. These things happen, Shabbat.
Absolutely. Now, Ahmad, getting to our topic here, what's the latest from Itikweni, Ahmad?
Itikweni, you know, the issues we have at the moment, we're debating about the city manager. Now it was supposed to be a special council meeting, was supposed to be held on Wednesday. That's been already cancelled, postponed, because they have not come to terms with what we are saying. We want somebody who will be able to run the city, who will be able to direct us in the right direction, and don't bring anyone who will be running a municipality with 1 billion facility and come here and do a 55 million rand facility, city, a huge big metro, and bringing somebody there. So the first one, they was bringing a guy that was a city manager of a small city, for running a budget of 1 billion. And they wanted to bring him here. We objected to that, and now he has taken the matter to court to say that why we have objected. But we saying to him in no uncertain terms, you cannot come and run a big city where you ran a small town. In other words, a billion rand budget is a small town, actually. You can, you know, a metro is 55 billion. So therefore, we shoved it down their throats and told them, no ways, we're not interested. So they had to go back to the drawing board. Now they have come up with some new guy that we're assessing, hopefully by this week on Friday, there's a council meeting. We'll be able to see what is going to come up. And then we will take it from there. And at the moment, when you're talking about the city, the finances are very, very low. After the 12th, two devastation floods that we had has put us really in the back foot. But good has come out from there is that all the infrastructure that was damaged, now we will be getting a new facility, new piping system, new plants. So that is a good part that has come out. And in fact, you know, I think Allah does things in a mysterious way. If this flood did not come, we couldn't have had renewed our infrastructure in the city, and the ailing infrastructure in the city for 15 years or more, they have not been serviced, they have not been maintained, and this Allah made it easy for us. So now, all this infrastructure has been taken care of now, and they have to redo the whole thing from start to finish, meaning that we're going to put completely new plants in various reservoirs, in electricity, and there's a whole lot of host of things that we have to do, and that will be brand new stuff. So that is a good part of this whole thing, Shabbat.
Well said, Ahmed, that Allah works in mysterious ways. And well, I'm looking at this caption in front of me. It says that President Cyril Ramaphosa signed into law the Municipal System Amendments Bill. The bill bars municipal and senior managers from holding political office. The legislation prevents top brass in municipalities from holding political office in a party, whether in a permanent, temporary, or acting capacity. Hey, this is Bohot Koob. I think it's good news, Ahmed.
I think they have realized they are going backwards in everything. The ANC have already trying to accept defeat at the moment, because they are talking about for 2024 coalition. They are already talking on what happened last year with all the municipal election that they have in most municipality. They are in coalition, so they know what is happening. And I don't think they have got, you know, with the infighting and the division in the ANC at the moment, they have got a problem. So, you know, I think they got a lot of work to do if they want to still maintain that they will be able to get the 51 plus. I cannot see they will ever get that 51 plus. So I think they're going to lose a lot of ground in this whole thing. And it's better for us, Cash Action SA. We will be the second biggest party in the country, Shafat.
I'm looking at this message on the screen, and Yusuf says, Assalamu alaikum, brother Shafaat Ahmad Parak. Jazakallah khair for a lovely program. Straight talks or rocks. I want to tell Ahmad Parak that I was in Durban for the past 2 weeks, but I had to move away to Durban to lower into the Ubongos and other places down the lower south coast. Reason being, Durban is too dirty, too smelly, and too rife for pickpocketing and other unscrupulous characters. And I also noticed that your buildings are still very derelict and not clean at all. There is, for every turn that you make, you get a fear factor. Please, Ahmad, address us, because the next time I come to Durban, I want to meet with you, and I want you to take me to a clean, lovely, fresh Durban. I think Yusuf makes a valid point, Ahmad. How do you respond to him?
Shafat, Yusuf do make a valid point. Firstly, this, in his question, there's three parts to it. One, the dirt of the city. You know, in the last week, we had the DSW issue in terms of they went on strike. So that was, if he came in here in the last 1 week, yes, city was very, very dirty. They have now started clean up. They have come to, the unions have come to the party in terms of wage agreement that has been sorted out. The second issue is talking about you getting mugged or for security reason. Yes, there is a problem there because the Metro Police and the South African Police Services, we do not have manpower, and because of constraint of budget, they cannot employ more people. So that area there had to be taken care of, and they have already earmarked the issue to get investors in this country and tourists coming into this country. They have to sort that out. Lastly, the question of the buildings are dirty and some of the buildings are like falling down. Yes, Trump is on top of it with all the relevant government departments, i.e. Department of Health, Department of Justice, Department of Home Affairs, Department of Labor. All these departments, we are doing a blitz in the evenings, and we are cleaning this whole city up. Hopefully, in the next 3 to 4 months, the city will start looking much better than before, because now everything has opened up. Restaurants have been opened up. You know, COVID is gone now. So therefore, they have to start bringing in people here in the city. And this city was the second best city in the world. We're trying to bring it to that, but it's going to take us time, Shafat.
Look at this message. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad. Proportional representation should be a reality for each Ukraini, because it's changing color. It's changing color in a bad way. There's only one color. Please, Ahmad, moot for this. Proportional representation. We need to have those people that are paying rates and taxes. They should be on the board too. They are nowhere to be seen. Ahmad, I think that's quite a valid point from Anonymous there.
Shafat, we have already earmarked in terms of the Civics Association with all the ratepayers association. I'm not going to reveal what I'm on air, but there's something big is going to be happening in the next 6 to 8 weeks. We want to bring this government, the city, to a standstill if they're not going to start giving service delivery, because you cannot hold ratepayers paying paying for the dues, and some of them getting absolutely free service, and they're not giving us service delivery. So therefore, in terms of the Constitution, in terms of the Act, we have already earmarked what we want to be doing. So they are aware of it. So end of the day, there will be a big splash in the next 6 to 8 weeks, and they will be brought down to ground to say they have to start, they have to commit. It might be a court order where they will give them a specific time limit to fix what they have to do.
Looking at the message here, Kasim says, Assalamu alaikum, you spoke about DSW. What about the DSW scandals involving Zandile Gumede and those other managers? Millions and millions of rands were taken and given and wasted. All our ratepayers' money going into waste. And what about those that were complicit raking up our water and rates, and I'm using all our money to fill their pockets up. Please, Ahmed, tell them, I'm saying it loudly, Qasim, pay back the money. Ahmed?
Shafat, that matter of the DSW 320 million that was taken out from the coffers of the city, it is before the court at the moment at the High Court in Durban. So that matter is, it could take anything from, because there's so many witnesses and so many people are involved in this year, it could take in another 2 to 3 months. But once the judgment is out, you will see that the National Prosecuting Authority have put their act together, and there will be a lot of conviction taking place there. And from that, it will tell you that the city and the Department of Justice as well as the NPA is not playing around. And there's a lot of other heads going to be rolling in the near future in terms of what they have been taking out from the coffers of the city.
Yes, I'm looking. There are so many questions coming through. Bonnie, please, let's do that one, yeah. Brother says, Assalamu alaikum. I'm audio streaming from overseas, Ahmed. As you know, I own a lot of properties in Durban, but I'm getting a little bit of a gabrat. I hear land expropriation will be coming in soon. People like the Julius Malema, who is getting more popular by the minute. What happens, Ahmed? For example, I'm owning 20 blocks of flats in around Durban, Peter Maritzburg, and so forth. What happens? Will they take 19 of my flats or blocks of flats away and leave me with one only? Please fill me in, Ahmed, because you know who's who in the zoo. Ahmed?
Shafat, that who's who in the zoo, he said like a zombie, but anyway. But nevertheless, it's not going to happen like that, Shafat. Nobody is going to, we will fight to tooth and nail that nobody is going to take anybody's property. They're not going to expropriate. There's a mechanism in place that constitution governs that. There's no such thing. And no, because the foreign investment in this country is by the billions of rands, in trillions of rand, nobody is going to allow this to happen because of the minerals in this country and everything else we have in this country. So therefore, nothing like that is going to happen. Yes, there will be a coalition government, but things like they're going to be taking it away, and he's frightened that, he's going to be left with some 20 of his flat, 19 is going to be taken away. No, they will never, ever happen, Shafat.
Yeah, our brother's owning, mashallah, 20 flats, 19 flats. Let's be honest, Ahmed, he's paying his rates and taxes. I mean, he's not owning it, he's not for Mahala, but he's paying for it. And good point, at least you're giving him a reassurance. And I mean, Ahmed, these are the types of brothers, we say, oh, look at this guy, he's owning so many flats and he's doing that. But these are the ones that, mashallah, that really give a lot of charity, Ahmed. Your thoughts?
100%. These are the brothers that who have got property in this country. They're not, no, they got they gone overseas for business or whatever it is, and they still want to come back. For him to have like 20 flats in this country, sooner or later he's going to come back. I know. I had my first cousin. His whole family is in Australia. I came to know on last week Sunday afternoon that he's now. He said, he's about 88 years old, and he said, I'm back here. I want to be buried here because this is home for me. And that's it. He's been all his years with his family there in Australia, but he's coming back home. This is home. So whoever has gone to the UK, Canada, Australia, wherever they have gone, they are coming back, Shafat. End of the day, it's because of the instability in our country here. They have been there, but they will come back because it's easier to live here. The weather is good here. It's easier to make money here. You have got servants here who will be, I was speaking to somebody on Thursday. He said to me, if I have to wash my car, I have to do in Australia, I have to do it myself. In New Zealand, you have to do it yourself. In New Zealand, when you get snow, or in Canada, when you get snow, you have to get up early in the morning to clean your driveway before you can take your car out. All these things, you don't have it in this country here. You want to mow the lawn, you get a gardener will come there once a week or once every fortnight. You come and mow your lawn, clean your windows, do everything, and he's gone and dusted, done and dusted. But in overseas, you have to do everything yourself. So therefore, life is much easier, better in this country. And in fact, I heard this week as well, a very prominent Maulana in our city here. He says, my brother went to him and asked him, you know, Maulana, you know, the things are happening. What must I do? Maulana told him, whatever you got, invest in this country. There is no country like this anywhere in the world.
Yeah, absolutely, Ahmed. And also, you know, thinking about people that are living in overseas, the burial and Islamic burial, sometimes it's compromised. They have funny bylaws, or you must bury the body upright in Canada. You must do this, or you have so many hours, you can only see the mayor and it must be gone, and all those things. But in South Africa, I mean, I've heard of many people, and you say, hey, why are you coming back at home? And I'm coming home to die, Ahmed. And you're absolutely right. So many that come back and say, I just want to die at home, Ahmed.
100%, because everything is easier, better, the facilities is better. You go to the UK, you have to put the body in a coffin and all that. Where you saw, you know, where our dean teaches you, you know, dust to dust. So, you know, you have to put it in a shroud it and you bury it. Yeah, they have to put it in a coffin and everything like that. You know, I've seen a lot of things that overseas they have to do, and this country, how easy it is to do our ghusl, how we take the body to the masjid, to the house, and our burial, how simple it is. And in fact, some Somali brothers, they have not used a spade in many years yet. They say it is so easy here, we do our burials here. We don't even want to take our bodies back to Somalia. We do it here because we make a chain and we do it the Sunnah way. Each one will put with the three lots of sand in the cupboard, and in no time we fill that thing. We don't use a spade here. So this is how it is. You know, I learned something. For over 30 years I'm doing this work, and this is the first time I've seen the way to make the chain and to put the sand with the hand, not using a spade, Shafat.
Yeah, and as you said, that the Somali brothers have, you know, very taqwa conscious, very dini conscious, and very sunnah compliant. Also, I'm looking at a question here. It says, Ahmed Parak, I live in the South Coast, and alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, I already enjoy this program. You give us a lot of himmat, Ahmed. Allah bless you. And we know you are there for us. But Ahmed, I want to know from you, Toyota is up and running, but my business is still suffering. We are promised X amount by the municipality to get us up and running. Mine is still under file 13. Ahmed, how can you help us?
Shafat, there was a disaster fund put in place. If the application was put in, there is a huge backlog. The brother must keep chasing, and if he has in the next week, if he cannot come to terms with anyone there, he's not getting an answer, then what he can do is, after the show here, in fact, a lot of brothers are sending me SMS, they said, please, on a weekly basis, speak to Shafat Ahmed Khan to make sure we get your number, because some things that we want to speak to you in private, I said, with the greatest of pleasure, I will give my number on a week-to-week basis. Because whoever wants to send me some private messages, or they want to call me privately, they've got issues with government or other issues, they want to talk to me, with the greatest of pleasure, we will assist whoever we can, Shafat.
No, Ahmed, I think it's imperative you give out your number, and you know, you're doing a brilliant service for the community, and this is for the Ummah also. So you most, you know, your number, I know it like, hey, I mean, how many years are we talking to each other, Ahmed? I don't know, but your number is just the 6666, hey, and hey, I can't forget it. Other than 66, only two more sixes would have been six sixes in one over. But you really deliver, Ahmed. Looking at more questions coming here. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahmed Parak, I write as an anonymous sister. When this program is on, I'm not allowed to talk. Why is it, Ahmed, you make my husband so addicted to the radio then? Ahmed, what's wrong?
In fact, Allah has blessed us to do this work, Shafat. Me and you, we just, you know, yesterday too, when I was doing the Rescue 786, the launch, and you know, those brothers, whoever we invited and all that, they said, you know what, when you take on something, how come it takes off? So I said, I mean, it's only with the will of Allah, and you do it with a good, clean intention, there's barakah in it, and things get done, Shafat.
Alhamdulillah, looking at this question, it says, Ahmad Baraka, well done. Once again, you have achieved and left an indelible impression. IBC, a success. A counselor, a success. I want to know from Ahmad Parak if this ambulance service, is it throughout the country or is it only for KZN only? Ahmad?
Shafat, this ambulance service, I've been toying around with this for the last 3 to 4 years. But unfortunately, due to COVID and all that, I had to stall it. And then I have been pursued this whole thing from January this year. And if you go to Radio Islam Day in Joburg, they have started with one. Shafat, today they got 5 ambulances, they had 7 ambulances, and 2 of them got written off with accidents or whatever, but today they got 5 ambulances. And Shafat, they are doing a splendid piece of job, and you know, whoever cannot afford it, and they don't pay. So, you know, there's so much of people that we have got going through the sickness and all that, they need assistance. And some, you cannot take them in a normal car. It's virtually impossible. And you know, some of them have got, they need the assistance, proper assistance to take them in an ambulance. And that's where I thought about it. And I said, you know, this is how we did it for Ghusl, how we simplified for the Ghusl. All the Ghusl Khanas we made all over the city and everything. At the moment for this facility, we're starting with Durban, inshallah, then we'll be able to roll it out to all the other cities like Newcastle, Ladysmith, Tonga, Verulam, Stanger, we'll be able to do. But we are opening it up. The first one will be the Rescue 786 KZN. Then we will start it in Durban and surrounding, and then from there we'll roll it up to the other places as well, like how we brought the Islamic Burial Council under one roof. That's the same system we will be able to use, and it make it easier for us. And then it will interlink with our burial societies and all that as well. So it makes it much easier for them too as well.
Looking at this message, Brother Zahid says, Assalamu alaikum, Chef. I remember you from them days, from DDAS editor to the president of the MSI, and mashallah, the versatile radio presenter, still very current. Please tell Ahmad Parak that he was very instrumental in bringing up the issues of our elders are being left alone in the different types of old age homes run by non-Muslims. Ahmad, I want to remind you that there are still many of our elders, especially our old grandmothers that are still in these non-Muslim old age homes. Please, Ahmad, keep this topic alive and conscientize the Ummah. This is not the right way to do. We also find that some of the family members always are wishing their grandmothers there in these old age homes. But how shameless they are. Why can't they keep them in their homes? Please, Ahmad, keep up this topic and don't let it die. From Zahid, once again, keep up the great work. Ahmad, Zahid is really making a very powerful point indeed, because you were the first man to bring that issue alive on radio. And I think Ahmad, you should keep it alive. Your thoughts?
Shafat, the old age homes, in fact, I was with Maulana Haider yesterday, who is the chairperson of Rescue 786 in Kautek. And he said to me that under 100 old age homes, first and foremost, I say to anybody, do not make old age homes available to the community, because you know what? Now you're giving our community leverage to take the parents and go and dump them. The word I'm using, dump them. And most of them, they go and dump them. They don't even go and see them, Shafa. That's number one. Occasionally, they might go and see them, or they might just go and see them on the boat they eat. That's it and nothing else. And that's where I personally, in terms of the Quran, I said old age home. But after speaking to all the ulamas, and I think it to top ulamas, and I spoke to Taqi Osmani from Pakistan, Grand Mufti, and he said, you know what, the time has come, the need has come for these old age homes, therefore you have to do it. I was speaking to Mufti Ibrahim Saleji, and I brought this topic up, and he's got, you know, his madrasa also in Islambe. They have opened an old age home there as well now. There's another old age home that has been set up here in Glenwood as well. So there's another old age home. And then the field care center is going to open next month by the IMA in Sherwood. So So, you know, things are taking shape. But the fact is, why would you take your parents and go and dump them in an old age home? That is the scary part of it. And you know what? And if you say in the beachfront, there's so many people are living, single parents are living there. And some of them have to get the medication. Some of them are in nappies. There is no facilities in place for that type of thing. So that is the problem we are faced with. And you know, one brother says, no, by, you know, I've got a nice business and everything, but you know, my mother wants independence, so she put him in a beachfront flat. He says, no, my mother can open the windows in the morning, open the curtains, see samundar, they can see the sea, what beautiful sea. What you want to put your mother to watch the sea and all, where you're supposed to be looking after your mother, making sure she takes her medication on time, making sure her diet is in position, everything is sorted out, or put a nurse for or help her out. But no, she put it, you know, whatever the rental or whatever the leave is, even if you have bought that flat for his mother, you're still paying the levies or whatever you're doing, but you leave your mother alone in a flat. How on earth you can have conscience? How you sleep at night when my mother is sleeping alone there, whether she ate today, she had a breakfast, whether she took a medication? I just can't understand that. When it comes to that, when I spoke in Cape Town, Shafat, in Salt Rock, they converted a church to a masjid. There was about, for a Juma, the late the president
Ehsan Hendricks,
and you know, he gave me the platform. He said, no, Ahmad Bhai, you have to speak today. So I spoke there, Shafat. You won't believe it. There was plus minus about 2,500 to 3,000 people. It's a massive church they took in. And I spoke there, Shafat, you won't believe it. And they got, in Cape Town, you got a women's facility as well there. And the upstairs was women, the men were downstairs. And when I finished talk about the whole topic, you know, I gave the full dosage of old age home and what is happening in airport, in ABH and trap time. The whole story I gave. When I finished everything after the khutbah and after the namaz, when I was coming out with Ehsan Hendricks, Allah give him jannah, what a gentleman, Shafat. And he was, you know, his wife was there and everybody's crying and coming. You know, I see tissues in everybody's lady's hand. I'm saying, you know what, I hope I have not pressed the wrong button or something. Yeah, I don't know what is happening. So I asked, Molana, find out for the wife, or everybody is crying, you know. Then Molana told me that, when you talk about the mother, especially in Cape Town, when you talk about the parents, that's how sensitive the woman folk is in Cape Town when it comes to that. So that's when I said, you know what, how sensitive this whole topic is and what we are doing is, you know, totally wrong. We're supposed to be looking after our parents. And ask those people who don't have their parents today, ask them what it is like. I have spoken to plenty of people. The people that have, you know, their parents, we buried them. They go and Allah give them jannah, give them high state in jannah and firdaus. But Shafat, ask those people who have not got their mothers and their fathers here in this world, how it is. Those people who have got, they're not treasuring them. What they got, Shafat. Then only when they're gone, then only they'll realize what they must.
Absolutely, Ahmad, and Alhamdulillah, both you and I had a very close relationship with Molana Ehsan Hendricks, Rahimullah, Allah, please cover with Noor, always embraced and celebrated us, and we also do that very reciprocal. Ahmad, are your parting thoughts this morning?
Shafat, there's one very important issue I want to bring is this trespassing law that is going to be amended shortly, and we have got till the 15th of September to object to this. Now, this law states very, very clearly that if a person comes into Shafat Ahmad Khan's property, you have got a firearm, you can shoot him because he's trespassing. The law gives you the protection because it could be your life is in danger. But if they amend this law, if he jumps into your property and he comes to the AK-47, You can't shoot him or anything. Now you have to phone the police or you phone the security company, come and assist you. What happens in a case like that? That law is they're putting a law. They can come and kill you, and in trespassing, they is protecting the person who is coming into your property.
It's trespassing, yes.
Yes. So therefore, we think we all must object to this. There's a website is already there. This is albotha@justicegov.ca.za. You need to object to this because end of the day, you know what's going to happen is you will have a major problem. Shafat. Lastly, we just want our, you know, all those brothers who have been requesting my cell number is Ahmed Farak 0829666674. You can send me a WhatsApp or you can call me anytime. If I'm busy, I always return you the call. Even if it's like late in the evening, I will return your call. And if you need to send me an email, you can always send me an email at ahmedparak@edengroup.co.za. JazakAllah Shafat.
Brilliant, Ahmed. You go well. Have a lovely, mashallah, day ahead. We'll keep in touch with you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.